Welcome back to NELP's Young Professional Network podcast, Growing in the Green Industry. Today's podcast is powered by our Young Professional Network partner, Steel. Steel makes a full line of gasoline and battery-powered outdoor power equipment for the demanding landscape professional. Find yours at steelusa.com. Your host today is me, Brett Lemke, and our guest is Joe Lewis. Joe, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Brett? How are you?
Well, and I've got a bio here, so I'm going to share with our listeners who you are. Joe is a native of Akron, Ohio, retired Marine, husband and father of two. Joe entered the industry in the fall of 2014 after retiring from the U.S. Marine Corps. Joe is currently the Chief Operating Officer with Yard Solutions, where he manages and handles daily business operations, working closely with department heads and supervisors to support the day-to-day activities of employees. Joe oversees the development of safety and training initiatives to enhance the total workforce while continuing to increase Yard Solutions' presence throughout Central Ohio. All right. You know, small little group of responsibilities. We'll take that. So I think with our listeners, the conversation we talked a little bit about was stress management, but it is, you know, understanding the roles and the diversity of, you know, especially a CEO role. And imagine every email and phone call has a slightly different tinge to it every day. Just how we sort of navigate work in the spring or the heat of the summer, depending on where you are. And we wanted, again, we've done this sort of conversation a couple times throughout the years, is how do you just take a minute and work through it? How do you refocus? How do you stay aligned? And so, Joe, we want to hear your story a bit about it and offer some ideas for our listeners. Okay. So, Joe, I guess the curious question for me when it's, you know, career path and you had the military time, but what drove you to join the green industry?
My wife wanted to move to a really fancy area. And I was like, well, I guess that's not just a retiree home. So, babe, I guess I'll go back to work. But joking aside, I had family and friends that were in this industry. I say are now. And I just came out of a career at the time, obviously, came out of a career where making an impact or feeling like you did something that mattered. That's what drove me, and I enjoyed it. So again, having an impact on people and feeling like the profession, my career mattered. And, you know, I owned a home. I had chores growing up, but I didn't fully understand the green industry. I knew about it because of family, but as I was interviewing it, it struck a chord. It was not just office work, but it wasn't just grunt work. There was the balance. And at the end of the day, you know, you're taking care of people that take care of you. And it's not boring, because who wants to be bored, right? Not I.
Not I. I would agree with you there that it's not once in my career have I been bored.
That's good.
Yeah. You know, so is it, when you put all that together, how have you best managed your role and function and the responsibility of that and made it something you enjoy?
Well, I need to put something on my door. Somebody just knocked in. Sorry about that. So the way I managed it and found something I would enjoy is, you know, it helped with aligning with a vision and like core values of a company. Just, is there something that I could relate to? Because I was fortunate enough to be in a situation where, and I guess a lot of people are, where they are at work, it's because they want to be there. They don't necessarily have to be. There's so many people are hiring. So where you are is because you want to be there. And I think that's value for the employer to look at employees that way too. But really it was what made me happy. What drives me, or what I'm passionate about, is making an impact with people and being with a company or a team that shares that same passion. And there's always a goal, right? There's a mission, is what we called it before, but it's nothing more than a goal. But the goal is aligned to that end of do the right things, take care of the people. And guess what? Big shocker, they take care of you. And being with a team like that, it's where I came from. And then for my future career, aligning with a company that was like that. And I'm happy, especially now, that's where I feel I am. And again, but having the opportunity to show what I can do is like to work, to find where those parallels in my previous career to this new industry that I was in, are there parallels? What are some of the tenets of leadership or things, fundamentals that I felt helped me become successful? Can I build upon those and something different? And that opportunity was great. And, you know, I'm grateful for it. Does that answer your question?
Oh, sure does. And I think a lot of the time, I mean, when we started this conversation, it was like stress management, but it really just trying to boil it down to some of the root causes of it. I mean, we could love our job and still be stressful. But, you know, in our roles as leaders within organizations, it's, you know, what's the responsibility of setting up someone to be, you know, to be able to manage that stress. Fundamentally, it's just, again, they enjoy the work they do, the people they work with in the space, you know, then they're on the best foot forward, even in the hardest of the days. And so I keep thinking about how do we continue to foster that feeling in some of the pivotal times, right? So we're both in very seasonal markets and there's a spike right now to get a lot of things done in a very short period of time. And so how do we continue to hit that objective from results, but also do it in a way that we don't burn people out?
You know, and if you really think about it, the simplest elements of business boils down to some simple elements. But what keeps us engaged is those simple elements. There's complexities to them, right? I mean, in what we do in the commercial landscape side, if we boiled it to the simplest steps, it's you sell it, you perform it, and you bill it. I mean, it's not that easy. The prospecting, the selling, the networking, all of that. But if you can boil it down to something simple that you can relate to and you can focus on that, and how do you improve upon it? So how do you control or help others manage stress? You lead them. You become, you're a leader, and you have to be engaged. It is easier with Zoom calls, with email, just picking up the phone or looking at a KPI and the number's not where you need to. It's easy to be transactional, say, oh, you're not where you need to be. But it does take, it takes effort and skill. And really, you have to want to be an engaged leader, where you're actually going out and seeing what they're doing. Maybe you can see where they don't come to work to fail. So how, maybe I didn't make it easier to do the right thing. Maybe I didn't deliver the message the right way, or catch it before they failed. Because at the end of the day, I might've delegated the authority to a person to do a job, but I'm ultimately responsible for it getting done. So it's, the simple step is you lead your team. As a leader, you're a visionary, a strategist, and a problem solver. So you said it, we know this industry is cyclical this time of year, especially in Ohio. So why would I wait until our people are finding out these problems or the stressors if I already know it's about to come, if I already know it's happening? So I go to my team to educate them on it, to train them, to strengthen them, their resolve. So when it happens, yes, it's still stressful, but it's easier to manage it because they're ready for it. They're prepared for it. And where I came from, you know, previous career, was the best type of troop welfare is tough, realistic training, because you don't rise to the occasion, you fall to the level of your training. So how does that relate here where nobody's shooting at us? Hopefully not, right? Well, you do that. What's tough, realistic training? It doesn't need to be tough, but realistic, absolutely. We know we're going to go from the winter into spring. All right, well, spring is labor intensive. There's nothing sexy about spring cleanup, but it needs to be done. So talk to people about increase in hours or ergonomic lifting, or we talk about best practices to edge and do spring cleanup and then mulch and be most effective at it, most efficient at it. So when they see a property that looks enormous, they understand how to attack it safely, efficiently, and meet the quality standards that the client and the company want. So they're not, I mean, it's work, but it's not overwhelming.
Well, it's it makes a point to say that, you know, those that are best profit process driven will continue to find their way through some of the most difficult parts of a season or a scenario, right? Because you rely on that, your training, you rely on the steps there. If those that rely or believe in the chaos and just don't want to give themselves that disciplines, then you're going to repeating this problem time in, time again. And processes in with our organizations and the training that we do have huge value. They take time and they take effort. And I've got to imagine if it didn't work, you go retrain it again in your previous world, right? You train until you can meet those needs. But it is that essential piece. And how do you do it when it's the busiest time of the year? How do you not get chosen to, let's chase that job. Let's go work more time out there rather than just say, we're not figuring this out. Let's slow this down and just talk through it. So those, it's hard, but those disciplines can have real reward.
Well, and discipline equals freedom. Now, discipline isn't doing something because it hurts less. Discipline is a habit, right? And if Stephen Covey, I don't have to have an ism or something that, oh, this is my baby. Look how pretty. It's the best way. It's my way. Well, no, I would rather learn from other people's mistakes or successes and say, oh, can I adapt that to my business, my practice, my personality? And Stephen Covey talks about the benefits of being proactive vice reactive. And you will find people that are proactive are much more happier in life and in business and successful and things like that because they are that visionary, that strategist, that problem solver. And it's not naive. There are stressors out there. There are obstacles and challenges, but it can also just be noise. And how do you silence the noise or deafen it a little bit, noise canceling, right? Well, for these goals, you mentioned again, like, oh, it's busy. It is. Yes, absolutely. But we know spring is busy. So prepare for it the following fall. Have a plan and constantly analyze those results because you have a plan to get a certain result. And if you don't get the result, you should be constantly looking at that process. Where is it the attitude? Is it the system? Is it technique? Knowledge? Where are we? And possibly maybe the goal wasn't a SMART goal. It was specific. It was measurable. Was it really achievable? Or realistic, even if it's time-based. And we owe it to our people to set them up for success. We do. We owe it to our team to know them. I always say like internal and external clients, like internal being our employees, we need to communicate with them to help them understand what they're doing, what the expectation is, train them, engage with them, not treat them as an expendable resource or what have you. And same with our clients. The same, our employees, our internal clients should feel the same worth as our external clients.
I respect that piece. And it continues that driving point that we were doing some strategy planning today, and it's a little late for us in the season, but we are getting closer to being really clear on some longer term goals, things that we're missing from our organization. And with those, does it provide that focus and attention that needs to be done? It was not the best of days in terms of this type of season to be sitting here doing strategy, but it was something that we're missing. But again, focusing that discipline is going to ease up that time down the road to have this in place. In the future, we'll get this done in the fall or late summer and be in a better point of our strategy and budget conversations. But we just can't let this go beyond, because we're watched last year as a result. To, you know, when you say you reanalyze what worked and didn't work, it's a, we're missing that target. And when we don't have that, we're all over the place judging ourselves and each other on different measurables. And the framework of that just says that no one's right. Or you have to, you know, defend your position way too much versus just all aligned with the path that you're going. And so it, the pitfalls of not planning or having that clarity versus the taking the time and effort to get into it.
And knowing that maybe it's credibility, but really we're always building trust, whether it's with our subordinates as a leader. They need to trust you and trust you in order to follow you. Same with the clients, but peers, subordinates, the owner. Eric Remus is a great, like, his character is sound. Like, he is an honest person that's been doing business for 33 years. And that's what drew me to this place. And, but you are building trust. Now, once you have it, you're maintaining it, right? I mean, you shouldn't have to defend your integrity or anything, but acknowledging that you are building that trust, it kind of puts it in perspective that you owe it to your people. And the term servant leadership, right? Of you're in this game to, because you care about your people and you care about the people within the organization. There are people that are in it for self-interest and they're not bad people. They're just, they're looking to get promoted, make more money, and what have you. But when there's times are tough and you need to focus on like a retention or development of people, they tend to veer in a different direction because that's not why they're in the game. And it's not identifying them as bad people. It's just, what are they in it for? And sometimes they think they're in it to better the people. And then you have the conversation. You're like, you know what? I just want to make more money. And who doesn't? That is a great feeling. But it's not going to last if you're not in it for the right reasons, I would say.
So how are you going through the springtime right now and being executing a plan or sharing, driving the team towards a place where the results are going to be hit, but also going to be done, with the least impact to life. All right. And to your point, we know it's going to be busy, but how do you not let that get away from each other?
Well, it is consistency, right? Consistent engagement, because good people will make mistakes. It happens. And we just had something similar or something like that happen to us. The last few weeks, we had a new team doing seasonal color for the summer, and it might have been the worst I've ever seen, God love them. They were trying to figure it out. So sometimes when people are just sent out there to figure it out, yeah, you can get on the Google machine and YouTube might hook you up or something, but really, you can't just say, oh, well, I had to figure it out. Well, you owe it to your people to show them what right looks like. And where I was taught before is you're given, and if you want to instill habit, you have to teach and train. There's no PowerPoint, there's no email. You have to teach and train. You have to be engaged if you want to instill habit or change habit, what have you. To reinforce it or make sure they're, it's working, is you have to be engaged. Give them reinforcing feedback, engaged leadership, whatever. It's not, I wouldn't say whatever, but it's, you're engaged. It's not, oh, keep doing what you're doing. No, that's a cop out. It's, yes, what you met the timeline, but we need to focus on safety, productivity, quality, or safety, efficiency, quality, what have you. So that constant communication, and people get, I won't say confused as much as they lose sight. What I mean by that is, if we really think about what we do, back to business being simple steps, it's the job. Every job has to be safe. It has to be efficient. And there has to be quality standards met. Because if you get it done in the time frame that you were supposed to, and it looks great, but somebody got hurt. Well, that's not what we're in it for. So you can say you can't have two thirds, or one can't be more important than the other. But oftentimes that efficiency piece is what people see the most. Like, oh, I'm running low on hours. I have to just stop. Yeah. So yeah. It's that constant communication and be clear. If you want your team to win, you have to communicate. They have to be informed. Communication has to be at the foundation. I mean, think about yourself. Do you trust anybody you have no communication with?
Right. Yeah. You'll find yourself doing more work on your end. You'll set expectations in your head that will not be aligned with theirs. You're bound for a conversation that will be challenging or just wasteful. So you're going to go backwards in trying to restore trust or pieces or clarity.
And do you know anybody that you feel loyal to that you don't trust?
Right.
So it's simple, right? Communicate to build trust. You have trust, you're going to have loyalty. And guess what? Next thing you know, you have retention. They're referring people. And that's with employees and clients. It is that way, but it's not, oh, look at me. I have loyalty now. I can take a break. It's you're constantly engaged. And our operating system or our philosophy that has been established here well before I got here was essentially a proactive approach. It was have a strategy, have the right people in the room to have a strategy. You decide, make a decision on that strategy. So it's not just a think tank or leadership by committee, but you decide on that strategy, which is the best way to move forward. Now you operate on that decision. And last but not least, but it's constant as you learn from it. You're constantly learning. So that's the analyzation. If you're not getting the result, was it because the strategy was flawed? Did we make the wrong decision, or did we operate incorrectly? So it is that proactive approach. Doesn't make it easy, but it simplifies where you need to put that attention. So in that example I mentioned about the seasonal color, we identified a couple things that happened, and it was communication down, but also communication up. There's opportunities for improvement with sales as well as the ops team. And ultimately myself, like I needed to make sure I had a more effective conversation with them, just to make sure, not like dumbing it down or micromanaging or anything, but just so I had a clear understanding of that they understood the expectations and we addressed it, and we probably lost a little bit of confidence with the client, but we immediately rebuilt it by giving them that positive experience, right? I mean, yeah. Now the team it kind of galvanized them, because they said, yeah, we made a mistake. It wasn't like you just fired everybody or whatever. We made a mistake. We learned from it. And now we know we can achieve this expectation.
Yeah, right. It is. These mistakes are going to happen. If we're not making them, we're not learning, right? That's a classic statement in the piece. And so I tend to be in that same reaction kind of mode. Like, no, I'm not here to take cut a head off in these situations. I'm here to help everyone learn and get better. And we'll talk the client through. We'll find ourselves to another path. We may have to rebuild, but we will figure that out. And, again, most rational clients and people all are going to understand these circumstances. And so I was with a coach not too long ago, and past military experience. And he had this phrase just sort of that, they execute back briefs, and just this conversation of, here's what I said. Can you repeat it back? And you say that in a very empowering way. It's not like, come on, just tell me what I said and just do it. But it allows them to hear and have the conversation. I guess I heard it this way. And if that was right, then you're on the right path. But if not, then that one moment, but in that exercise, being able to, share that information to your direct report, and both ways, there's confidence and trust that builds off that piece.
Right. And, there was some, this situation in particular could be looked at from a proactive mindset, looking or reactive, because there was a competitor that was taking pictures of some things that we didn't do right and using that information to get the client to go with that company instead. And it, you know, there was the stress, there was some you know, just ill will toward, and like, hey guys, if we don't have competition, like, then all we do is practice. We just know we're good because we practice around each other and we're a team and we say, yeah, we're great, but we never have a challenge because there's no competition. So that's good. Like, what did they really expose? They exposed us not doing the right thing. That's not a bad thing. I mean, it is. You would rather catch it yourself, but how do you do it? You can't change somebody else's behavior, but we can change our own. So that's a good thing. I'm not trying to be naive with it, but guys, like, that's a good news story. It's easy fix.
Yeah. Deflecting is never really what you can control the most and piece there. And it's these kind of stories that we all have to live and experience that then have testament to, you know, future people that you train, like, you know, hey, you may think this, it's okay to mess up, or, you know, it's no big deal, we'll fix it tomorrow. But just to be aware that, like, there's a competition out there that's trying to find and identify where we're weak and take advantage of that. And so how do we avoid that?
And to put it in less, and I know it's probably against my previous nature, but like less confrontational, I think as a leader, you need to have a tolerance for conflict, but there's not, you don't need to have it. Like, right. And look, we, we want our employees. We like the employees we have, we value them. So if we do, it's not out of the realm of possibility that another commercial landscape company would feel a benefit to have that employee or those employees. And the same could be true for clients. We don't have any clients that were like, man, I just wish we didn't need them because I don't like them. But you should have the courage to just step away and say you don't need them. But so if you put it in that perspective, then you have clients, internal and external, that you value. And if somebody's in the same business, granted, it might not be, I don't think it's ethical, but it's, you understand why they would want them. So that can put the stress in perspective of, hey man, because I was like, hey, who's playing sports, right? I mean, you guys want to win your game, right? Got it. Well, I'm sure this is a competition. They're not evil, but they want to win as well. Now, if they cheat and do other stuff, well, that's unethical and that's wrong, but you just be that much better and it will eliminate that opportunity for them because they'll get caught, but you won't jeopardize your integrity or your character. Because what's the other thing? Like, oh, let's take the low road and see how that feels.
Not very sustainable. And
exactly.
If anything, you want to find out how to engage, provide more stress to your life, that, you know, that's the piece. And so it's certainly not easier doing it the right way.
Exactly.
Much greater value to it. And it's about, as leaders, how we react, right? And this message has continued to be presented. Like, there's situations that will say, they will remember how you handled this more than the situation that really got there. And we all will remember that piece. And so some of our best team members have made some really big mistakes, like I have, but yet have become stronger and have led others through that. And so it is especially in these heat of the moments when everybody's running a little high and hot and overtired, to go into situations with a level head. I think to our listeners, it's essential. Walk away and come back to this and say, let's just talk about this tomorrow, but don't go away, right? It's Joe's point. You have to be consistent. You have to engage. If you let this go, then that's just going to snowball into the next. And I have experienced that. We're experiencing that, right? We've got to be better focused on when it matters and it has a question of values to it, then like you have to be relentlessly all over that.
And as leaders, I've found success in this industry by not just discussing leadership from a, you know, mid and upper management, like operations, sales managers, things like that, but we call people crew leaders. So let's develop that professional as a leader. What does that look like? Because the leaders are the front line in identifying, managing operational stress, because that is a thing, right? Somebody goes and does a job, they go to a job and they're nervous because, I'm feeling it now. My 14-year-old and my 16-year-old are going to come work. And I do know, being, you know, the OSHA instructor and doing the work, that if you aren't aware, then there are hazards. So it's the parents like, oh my God, God in heaven, let these boys do well. And I'm like, wait a second. I trust my leaders. If I didn't trust the leadership, which is the crew leader, right? Mm-hmm. If I didn't trust that crew leader to care for our employees, then I definitely wouldn't let him or her take the most important thing in my life, and that's my two boys. So, and have them for an 8-hour, 9-hour day. So we, you know, it's the leadership. So then they have their next level of leadership. And it is people can feel that's the long fight. I need somebody that knows what they're doing, right? Well, somebody else trained them. Somebody else took the time. And you will be surprised when you take care of the people. When you take care of people, they will take care of you. It doesn't take long.
No, and it boils down to, you know, most of our stresses isn't because of the plant or the piece of equipment. It tends to be around the people component, be it the client or the employee. And so it's be very true to yourself to understand where the energy is to be given. But then on the other end, it's to celebrate. And so how do you go through the season, and how do you find chances to recognize your team or the company? Because I think that is equal part. If you're going to work hard, you want to play hard. So what's some things that you do?
I'm glad you said that, because I feel you should spend just as much energy, as you mentioned, in celebrating wins as you do disciplining.
Yeah.
You know, the thrill of victory, agony, defeat, which do you put more emphasis on? I mean, depends on the person, but really it shouldn't be more one or the other. You should definitely spend it on the positive reinforcement. But I would say the wins are, just like the other day, we identified not the threat, but the challenge in front of us. Here's what the client needs, which is not unreasonable. Yes, we won't make this mistake next season because we'll know when we need to communicate, but here's what the task is at hand. Here's how we're going to do it. So clear direction. And when we achieved it, it was, you know, what's important to them. Some it's time off, some it's just breaking bread, you know, having, eating with somebody and getting to know them personally, talking with them, tell you, Brett, it goes right back to that simplicity of engaged leadership, purposeful conversation. So how do we celebrate it? It's what's important to the team. And a lot of it is developing them as professionals, giving them the opportunity to make this a career where they can make this a lifelong career. But the immediate, look, people like, they like food. I'm one of them. So that's one. But, you know, talking with some people want a gift card. Some people want another way we've done it is we have state associations. So the Ohio Landscape Association and Ohio Green Industry Association, they have different training events. So those that are doing well, we send them to these events. And then after the event, they're telling the team, not the leadership, not like the operations manager or sales team or myself or the owner, but these these leaders throughout the company are telling at our Wednesday meeting, they're telling the company what they gain from that. So again, it makes it easier to do the right thing, but it also makes it like you celebrate those that are doing it well. Mm-hmm. So instead of the people up there, I mean, it's just, again, it depends on what the goal was. We have an incentive on efficiency, getting things done within the allotted hours. So if they are safe, efficient, and meeting quality standards, we have a first, second, third place prize. So we're giving out a cash reward on Wednesday. But that's, you have to be careful with it, you know, because now once they spend the cash, are they still happy where they're at? So it's, you know, it goes back to knowing your people. So, I mean, I don't know if I was a long-winded answer of saying there's a lot of ways to celebrate, but.
Oh, I mean, I would agree. And I'd reinforce that. Listen to your team when it comes to that. We've shared that before lots of times. It's somebody will need, you know, needs that cash to go buy something for their family more than they need the gift card, which they're not going to go out anyway. Right. And so it's just always having the value, because it's, you want to feel good. And certainly to recognize people has an equal feeling of feel good for you and feel good for them. But you want to, you want that value to be more to recognizing their efforts. So they continue to repeat that. Do pieces. It's same part is, I think the message is, don't let a busy season get away where this you don't recognize, and you can't wait until the summer to wait. It's the reaction should be pretty quick and be pretty loud and visible, right? You know, don't ever do it quietly when you need to recognize somebody. Just take that moment, and it doesn't take much. I think is sometimes the big part of this is we have a daily huddle and we ask, just if somebody had a win yesterday, share that win, you know. And if it's even a personal win, you want to just recognize something your kid did, or if it's a you know, a professional win, you know, work isn't everything to everybody, but it allows families to exist and to keep going. So we recognize that it's not always just about what we have happen here at work. So, but those little daily huddles after those moments of just a recognition to those quality or safety standards, or
because it's empowering them, right? Sometimes that's the reward. You empower somebody to be a leader among their peers because they feel they know it, but they just haven't had the opportunity. So in these huddles, you know, my direction is, what are the two, maybe three points that you want to get across? And okay, who's doing that? What crew leader, what foreman, what person, manager, sales, whatever. Okay, well, tell them what we want to go over. And tomorrow you call on them. So they essentially lead it. So that's empowering them as a subject matter expert. Not, it's not smoke and mirrors. It's not dog and pony show or anything. It's legitimate. But now you're trying to create these force multipliers. You're trying to get these people to, well, because you do care about them. We do need them. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, then what are you doing to improve that? Like, what are they not getting? But it is fundamentally their concepts, their fundamentals of leadership. It's not just a, you know, the Pythagorean theorem of leadership, like, oh, A squared plus B squared. Look at me. I'm a leader. I'm going to go win. It's their concepts that are proven, their principles. And the constant pursuit or the being passionate about developing that, because there is a burden, right, of being a leader. I'm sure you feel that, that responsibility. Every day. So we also have to be looking out for each other and leading managers or managing leaders, however you want to phrase it. There's an art and science to that as well. And some of the stress that we deal with is we know how we want things to be and we realize where we are. And if that gap, yeah. If it's too wide, if there is a gap for some, they're a zero defect. They're like, it should be this way. Here we are. What the freak? What the heck is going on? Well, absolutely. You have to. Well, what's the plan to close the gap or bridge the gap? Yeah. It's got to be a plan. It can't just be, it's it's not a hard skill step to identify what's wrong.
No. And, you know, and I think as sort of the capstone here, this conversation really is, we offer nobody really stress relief, but then it's going to be okay. We weren't necessarily rubbing anybody's back today. We're just telling you to stay focused, right? And in some points in this, the hardest parts of season, right? You know, 4th of July is upon us soon enough. This is crunch time. It's just remain that focus and give that time and attention. All the planning and effort that we put in should not go avail because of, you know, a weakness within the organization or a process or even within yourself. And so what I hoped, and I think you've done a nice job, Joe, is you just shared, you know, some great perspective of how you operate and reminders that the daily grind can be very rewarding. And it always is. If we all remember what we love about this the most, then a bad day or a bad moment or a quality issue on a job, we get through those pretty dang fast. Mm-hmm. All right. So we end everything with a rose and thorn. So tell me, Joe, what's been going well and what's sort of been a little annoying in your life, personal, professional, anything you got?
Oh, well, I have a lot to be thankful for. And I always try to be mindful of that. I mean, my wife and boys, I couldn't be more thankful for them and their support and just, you know, they're healthy. I have a great support group, the home I'm at Yard Solutions, and the character of our owners and the people I'm around. I mean, that is a rose, and I could keep going on to them, our team, and where we're going. A thorn, you know, I am one of those weirdos that likes to look at what are some opportunities, because, you know, once you start giving power to something negative, well, how much are you looking at that rose? Are you just staring at the thorns? So I would say a thorn is we're not there yet, but dang, that's also a rose because I'm not bored, you know? And that I know that's a crappy answer, man, but it is about as honest as I can be.
Oh yeah. No, I could appreciate that. And that's the good thing about all these is everyone's got this unique rose and thorns in space. So I love just hearing them and pieces. I'll share that just wrapping up multiple days over the last few weeks of strategic planning. Again, a little late in terms of a calendar, but we're just thrilled to be at a good point. We were at our 3-year sort of breaking point to say, let's revisit again. We've got a refreshed 10-year plan. And just when that feeling of, well, you sort of know the path, got to execute a lot. And there's some urgency that says, how do we make that happen really soon? But sharing a lot of that with the team today felt really good. And we begin. That measurable part just is a huge value for me. I feel more charged knowing what we're trying to achieve rather than not. And so excited about that. Thorn, busy. So the stress management piece is very helpful for me today, but off to a peer group meeting for the next couple of days after this, which is really exciting. There's a lot of demands for time and roles. And so, and where should you be with your family? Where should you be with your team? So I'm not sure I'm juggling it perfectly. Probably never will be, but just finding that I could use a little bit more time right now to do both. So, this podcast will be forever in the library. You all can revisit this one when you need that moment of, what am I doing this for and why? And I think, Joe, you answered it well. And it sounds like you've got a good path on the why and the how. So thank you for sharing today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure meeting you and speaking with you. And I'm sure we'll link up for future events.
Well, and Elevate coming up, I think we're going to be talking about, there's going to be a campfire around stress management and sort of building on these conversations a little bit too. And so hopefully people are seeing and looking forward to that event. For our listeners, thank you for spending a little bit of time with us today. Hopefully we're showing you a path towards loving this industry a little bit more every day. And so share this with your friends, family, and we look forward to talking to you all next. Take care, everyone.